All right, what is up, good citizens of Crypt Nation? It is your lovely, delightful hosts, Bryce and Pizza Mine.
Well, Bryce, anyway, would never describe myself like that.
Well, I would. I think you're a lovely person.
That's just a lie.
Maybe not lovely, but charming.
Okay, I'll go with charming. That. Charming indeed.
Sorry that we missed you guys last week on the Weekly Fire. Pizza Mine has been traveling all around the world like a gosh darn madman, but he's crushing it. He's making sure that we're taking care of our friends and our sponsors, and he's going all around the world doing so much good work for the Lord.
I have so much laundry to do. But it also was Thanksgiving last week. To be with our other loved ones, our other family, the blood relatives. So thank you, Crypt Nation, for taking one for the team. But we did put out an extra episode for you guys. We hope you enjoyed it. But the Weekly Fire is back. I'm excited. We have a lot to talk about. We have modified Hot or Not to include tokens that you've only ever heard of or are in the top 200. No more ridiculous coins with Bitcoin with two I's in it or Nexo with two X's. I mean, for God's sakes, it just needed to go. So we're going to jump into the market weather report right now. Bryce, you're seeing some interesting movements.
I am. Man, I'm getting really, really bullish right now at this level. So right now, the price of Bitcoin is about $7,400. And we're just at a really crucial point in the market. You guys know how I like to look at volume profile to see where most of the coins are trading hands. And we dipped all the way down to the volume profile, the largest volume profile over the long time frame of the last 3 years, which is right there at 6,500. We hit that to a T. And that was where a lot of buyers stepped in. So we popped up from 6,500 and we went all the way up to 7,900, almost overnight. So that was, to me, is just sign of like, okay, there's a lot of buyers that are sitting there. And now we're kind of stabilizing, around 7,400, 7,500, and we've been having some little spikes. I know a couple days ago we had, or I would say a few days ago, I think it was on Monday or Tuesday, we had a spike all the way back up to 7,900 on Binance. And today, or on Friday, I should say, we had a quick spike up past the 20-day moving average. So Bitcoin's looking like it's in a really healthy spot. It's got some long-term buy support, and I think that a risk-adjusted long trade is really well warranted here. You know, not financial advice, we're not financial advisors, just seeing what I'm looking at in the market. But also another thing that I'm really liking about this market environment is altcoins versus their BTC pairing. So what does that mean? So we see, you know, Bitcoin rising against the dollar, but what we're also seeing is altcoins rising against Bitcoin, which means that altcoins are rising against the dollar quicker than Bitcoin. And you could expect a lot more volatility out of your altcoins than you can expect from Bitcoin, which Bitcoin is already extremely volatile. So, you know, make sure that you guys, if you guys are trading these markets, have a place in mind where you put your stop loss. So the stop loss means that, you know, if price goes down below this level, your trade is invalidated and you made the wrong decision and you're going to get out. You're not just going to hold on for dear life aimlessly. So, you know, kind of the coins that I'm looking at, you guys can see on my CopyTrader account about 1.5, maybe it's been 2 weeks ago, I went almost all in on my CopyTrader account on Tezos. This is a platform that is a smart contract platform. I could see it, you know, I think it's ranked maybe 16th right now by market cap. And it definitely deserves to be top 10, in my opinion. So you guys could go check out my CopyTrader account. And see that trade that I made, and it's been pumping. It's been pumping pretty hard. So that's a good look, and it's getting interest, I'll call it, or, you know, good sentiment on Twitter. People are talking about it. It's trending. So that ticker's XTZ. You guys know I've been talking about 0x protocol a lot. I talk about Maker protocol, or Maker DAO, I should say. All these coins I really love. And, you know, another one that I've been looking at is a coin called Harmony, and the ticker is one is O-N-E. And this is a cool, you know, base layer protocol. I'm looking at the IEOs, and the IEOs are the initial exchange offerings, and they have very interesting tokenomics which don't have a lot of circulating supply and, you know, big lockups. And so these things have a tendency to, you know, run wild, essentially. So, you know, look at, just go to Binance and look at the list of all their IEOs. Look at Bittrex. I know Ocean Protocol is one of their first IEOs. You know, Bitfinex has a bunch of IEOs. So just look at all these IEOs. And like we saw, Matic this month went up 500%, literally in the course of under 30 days. And that was one of the Bitfinex, or that was one of the Binance IEOs. So I think that, you know, that these are going to be good coins that are going to lead us into the next bull market.
Bryce just asked me if I thought that it was alt season yet. And I said, no, I really don't think it is. But we're starting to see some volcanic rumblings on certain coins.
Exactly right.
Charts are looking good. We're seeing low cap coins starting to shoot 5X, 10X, you know, in a week, a month. I saw one of my old bags go up 10X and the volume double and the market cap go up 10X in the past month. I'm blown away. And these are like legitimate projects that are coming around to meeting their milestones. They're not just exits. So super interesting. And let's just transition right into the hot or not.
Absolutely.
And see what's been pumping. So the biggest winner is Engine, which just announced a partnership with Microsoft, which many tokens tend to do. But Microsoft actually announced it on their site, and they announced a game that we're going to be talking to. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later in the news section. But Microsoft and Engine confirmed partnership.
And how much did they go up?
62%.
Wow.
Yeah, Engine how much volume? Is on fire with $32 million worth of volume.
That's like no freaking joke.
Yeah, this is for real. Next is Hedge Trade, which is a platform where you can kind of bet on copy traders and money managers. Very cool. Pretty interesting. They're up 60%. And they're actually probably going to be on our show pretty soon.
Oh, amazing.
I just got a mutual connection that knows their CEO. So we're going to be reaching out to them shortly and to find out what they're all about. And then finally, we have Matic Network that is up 58% on the week. 500% in the month. They are just on fire. They're absolutely killing it over there at Matic. Very nice. We got to meet some of them in Singapore.
Yeah, you saw them in Singapore. I saw them when I was at San Fran Blockchain Week. Really good group of guys, and they're making a really robust platform.
Yeah, they're hustling.
What about the biggest losers? You know, we don't, you know, necessarily take joy in this. This is not necessarily something that we like to talk about, but there's always winners and there's always losers.
What goes up must come down. And that's just a fact. Some of these guys were in the hot section, as they usually are. So we have Thunder Token.
And these are guys I really like. I've actually spoken to these guys. And so, you know, they've got a really legitimate project. So remember, just because something goes down like Thunder Token 35% in 7 days doesn't mean it's not a legit project. Doesn't mean it's a scam. It just means that markets have cycles.
And that's what we all love in crypto, this volatility. A chance to buy at minus 35%, hoping it'll go up another 40 next week. Absolutely. Who knows?
And then we have Silverway down 33% on $2.5 million worth of volume in the last 7 days. And the last one we have is Ignis. And Ignis on $4.5 million worth of volume fell 9.5%. And so Ignis is also, if you guys remember NXT and Ardor, ARDR, Ignis was an airdrop on top of ARDR. And very cool project, but you know, they're trying to do enterprise blockchain as a service type things. But at the end of the day, you can't always be winning all the time.
So here's my takeaway from this. You know, we're now focused on only the top 200 coins, none of the other garbage that doesn't deserve to be talked about yet. They have to prove themselves. We're not going to mention them on the show anymore.
Exactly.
But for the third biggest loser to have lost less than 10%.
Bullish.
Maybe alt season is here.
Frickin' bullish.
At least it was this week. And it was last month for a handful. So we're definitely really, really excited. I know I love my shit coin, so maybe I'll finally get a chance to take some profits.
I hope you do, brother.
I hope I do.
So now let's move on over to our Fire Tweets segment where we pull the best tweets of the week and we talk about them. So One of my favorites from this week was from a gentleman who we know here at Crypto 101 named Travis Kling. That's Travis underscore Kling, K-L-I-N-G. That's his Twitter handle. And here's what he says. He goes, to have high conviction that a non-sovereign money will gain mass adoption in the future, you need to be burning the candle at both ends. On one end is monetary and fiscal policy irresponsibility, global quantitative easing, and debt. On the other end is society recoiling against corruption. We have both. So to me, this is an iconic tweet because the non-sovereign money that is Bitcoin, right? It's just this hard-capped, permissionless global money, deflationary, that we're hoping to get mass adoption. You need to be having, burning the candle at both ends. So we have, corruption in politics and all sorts of stuff. And we have, fiscal irresponsibility with, massive amounts of leverage in the system and, cheap money. And so it's kind of a recipe for disaster if you're taking the other side of the Bitcoin bet.
Yeah. I mean, we want to have an institution we can trust, but they are just failing so badly around the world. People are realizing we just can't trust anyone. And if we can't trust these guys, who can we trust? So Bitcoin offers a trustless solution. And a lot of people just feel like this is so much better than risking getting our hearts broken and our wealth lost again. Moving on, we have another interesting tweet from Andreas Antonopoulos. He says, Intuit Merchant Services just told me that I can't be using crypto if I accept credit cards for my invoices. They asked me to remove crypto from my site. I instead elected to remove Intuit and their credit card services from my life. This is just the silliest thing I've ever read, because Andreas Antonopoulos is one of the pioneers of Bitcoin adoption. And for Intuit to tell him that, like, they clearly don't know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
I got a good laugh out of that.
It's just crazy. I mean, why does that even matter? Like, that's like saying, hey, you can't accept Japanese yen if you're using our credit cards.
That's like saying if you have a blue shirt on, you can't come into my restaurant. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Intuit, I mean,
Short into it.
I love Antonopoulos. He's one of my favorite inspirations. I listen to him, almost every day when I go home from work. He always has great content. So if you guys aren't following Andreas Antonopoulos, you guys must.
Do you have a friend who's interested in getting into cryptocurrency, but they don't know where to start building their portfolio? Well, we have the answer. It's called CopyTrader by eToro. With CopyTrader, you can automatically copy every trade of eToro's top crypto traders, just like myself or Bryce or Kevin, at the exact price point and in real time. No need to study up on markets or develop your own strategies. Simply just sign up and copy our trades. Any profits that we make, you do too, proportional to your investment, of course. With eToro, you get access to the world's most popular cryptocurrencies with transparent trading fees all in one easy-to-use app. Copy the smart money with eToro. Join now at eToro.com/crypto101.
Moving on from fire tweets, we have Scorched Earth. And this is where we talk about times that we've been burned in crypto. We've been in this space for several years, and it seems like every month or so, something happens, it's just sometimes bad things happen, but most times great things happen. But we just want you guys to know that, we're not perfect and the crypto space isn't perfect yet, and everything's growing and mistakes happen and we get burned. Just like you guys and just like everybody in the crypto space, everybody has their stories, and Pizza Mind has some updates for you.
So I have just been recently burned. The wounds are fresh. I'm going to tell you guys about it. I haven't even told Bryce about it today, so he's going to learn for the first time along with everybody else. I've talked many times on the show about how Counting House has saved my portfolio during the bear market, but something has gone awry.
With Counting House?
With Counting House. Jesus, something Christ. Has gone afoul, and we can't quite be sure what, but long story short is, for whatever reason, we're told that it was due to being unable to become regulated in Australia, that they were selling the fund to another manager that does have the proper licenses. And we were told that this other firm was located in Europe and the sale is about to close. And then we were told the sale closed and all this stuff. Well, the company that they said they sold it to put out on their website that they had no idea who Counting House Fund was and there was no sale. And if this was a scam, that it needed to be reported to the authorities. Since then, the founder of Counting House, who I consider a friend, who's done a lot for me, I've met him twice in person. I've met his family, his kids, has really not shown any evidence whatsoever that A, the sale was real or anything. There is a huge lack of transparency and communication. The community is up in arms. They've hired a lawyer to file an injunction to freeze all of this guy's assets. Meanwhile, he's issued a very, very brief, you know, lawyer-doctored statement saying that he believes he was scammed out of the entire fund. And he is working with authorities to try and freeze those assets somewhere in the global banking system.
Wow.
So who knows what the real truth is, but essentially anyone holding these Counting House tokens, which, you know, had done so well, you know, are pretty much fucked. It really didn't have many of the attributes of a scam from the start. It had some, you know, in the sense that it's a trading bot, but, you know, the tokens were available on exchanges to be bought and sold. And there was an audit by a third party auditor and stuff like that, but it's since something went wrong and there's some big missing pieces to the puzzle. Fortunately, you know, I had less than 10 grand invested in it. I can recover. For me, the biggest pain point is having to tell my investment partner that I fucked up and when he trusted me. Like, that's something that I can't recover from. Like, I can find another $10,000 to put back into it. But I know
not
there are people
into it, back into something.
Well, back
else.
Into our portfolio.
Okay, got it.
But there are other people as a part of this community that put their almost their entire retirement.
Oh my
in.
God.
And
guys, you can't.
Just absolutely crazy. So this is a perfect example of, even though, like, I still feel like Tim is a good guy and, you know, he's made a horrible mistake somewhere along the way. That's undeniable at this point. But a platform risk, even if you trust the guy, even if they have the best of intentions, let's say he did everything above board the whole time, like, he still managed to get scammed potentially.
Yeah.
So you really have to diversify. You have to manage your platform risk.
And guys, we talk about this so much. Like, you know, the same thing happened to me a couple summers ago with Monkey Capital. And I think that was one of the first scorched earths that we had.
That's right.
Where, you know, I lost several Bitcoin in that. And it was just, it was so sad because you have, you know, such smart people telling you all these new ideas that are going to change the world. And everything looks good, and you read the white paper, and you see the audits, and you know all this stuff. But at the end of the day, you know they, you know the issuer of the token gets all likes to rile up the crowd and hype things up and talk about, oh, we just closed this deal, we closed this, and because the community, right, is always asking, oh, well, what's the update? What's the update? And the issuer always feels like they have to, you know, be saying new things all the time. And, you know, the same thing happened to me with the Dignity coin, right? So Dignity, you know, was saying that they're backed by gold and they have all these audits and all this stuff. And then scams come out and reports come out that it's not true and that there's lying and that they jumped the gun on a deal and all this stuff. And so, guys, that's why we say, you know, A, if it sounds too good to be true, oftentimes it is. This is the crypto space and there's bad actors in here because it's so unregulated and it's so new and there's such an asymmetry of information that you're really only well off to make an investment in, like, you know, the top 20 coins or top 50 coins, even though you're not going to see as tremendous amounts of, you know, 10, 100, you know, 500x gains. It's just, you'd rather, you know, have maybe a 100%, which is a double, right, a 2x gain over the year than have a coin go to zero on you. And so, like he says, Pizza Mind says, platform risk and all sorts of stuff. It's just, you guys got to keep yourself safe. If it could happen to us, it could definitely happen to you. And it happens to everybody in this space that, you know, You read a project, it makes sense, you love it, you meet the founders in person, you met this guy's wife and kids. Like,
yeah,
he was the one that got scammed. You know, like, he was being fed lies, and he had other partners that didn't hold up their end of the deal. And by proxy, little guys like us who invested in him get screwed because he got screwed. Yeah. And that's what happened with all these projects.
And that's really what it seems like. You know, this wasn't the case where there's a lot of hype and buildup or over promises. You know, Counting House was returning good earlier, you know, in the year. But as the fund grew, you know, the returns diminished, as they should. You know, we were looking at, you know, maybe 1% a week, maybe 0.5% a week some weeks. We even had a losing week. So, I mean, it all seemed very legitimate. There was never any additional funds, you know, requested. You know, I was talking with this guy on a private deal to build me a bot, and I had some investing partners, and he could have taken us for millions of dollars with this new venture that he had planned after the sale was completed. So it didn't make any sense. You know, if this guy was really trying to run away with a $50 million fund, and if he was really in it, you know, as a scam the whole time, like, he could have taken me personally for way, way, way more than that.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense. There's so much here that doesn't make sense. Hopefully, in the weeks to come, we'll get some kind of clarity as to what happened. But as of now, I think we're all writing it off as a total loss.
I'm sad, man. It's really sorry to hear that. I know that you've been super excited about these guys. But yeah. Let's move on to the Smoke and Mirrors segment, where we just talk about, you know, debates that are in the community right now. And one of the debates that is popping up, particularly because Bakkt, you know, the ICE's, you know, Bitcoin warehouse and Bitcoin futures settlement platform and custodian, they are issuing what we call paper settled futures and paper settled options and derivative products. And so, what does paper settled mean? It means that, you know, so in contrast, there's physically settled contracts, which means that at the expiration date of this future, right, or this option, at the expiration date, you have to deliver physically that good that you are trading. So if I'm trading 100 bushels of wheat and I'm trading a physically settled contract, at the end of that contract, I need to deliver 100 bushels of wheat. That is what has to happen. And there's literally, you know, warehouses where they do that. So in Bitcoin's case, physically settled products, you have to settle in the transmission of a Bitcoin private key, and you through a custodian and through a warehouse. Of course, it doesn't look like a wheat or an ox warehouse or a chicken warehouse, but it looks like, you know, it's a data center, and there's all sorts of different, you know, software engineers that are doing this this process of physical settlement. And now we have, and actually the CME, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, offers paper settled futures, which you're settling your transaction in either cash or treasury bills. These are paper products. And here's the interesting debate that's happening right now is, and it's been happening in high finance for a long time since the introduction of these things, but is this actually inflating the supply of Bitcoin beyond the 21 million hard cap? So what do I really mean here? Let's try and break this down. So the whole, you know, one of the premises of Bitcoin's value is that there's only going to be 21 million ever made, and there's just no more than that. But what's happening is you have open interest on derivative products that exceeds the market cap of 21 million Bitcoins. So for instance, if the price of Bitcoin is $7,500 and the market cap is about $135 billion, you could actually have open interest, which means, you know, positions on derivative products that exceed $135 billion. So that means that effectively you're kind of inflating the supply of Bitcoin. And so people take both sides of that. I'm not really sure what to think other than I'm doing more research on this. And so, it's just kind of an interesting thing that, you know, Bitcoin is, you know, not necessarily always physically settled, you know, by trading private keys, but you could trade, the dollar value of Bitcoin, and that, you know, that contract is just tied to the dollar value of Bitcoin, but it's not tied to the underlying actual private key that secures the Bitcoin. So we'll probably be talking about this more in certain episodes since it is top of mind right now. And we're going to talk a lot about it at Crypto 2020 Summit. But, you know, there's pros and cons.
I think one way they're trying to get around this is they're issuing these IOU tokens that is pegged to the price of Bitcoin. And then you can redeem that for a Bitcoin when you actually want to settle out. Like, yes, it does kind of virtually inflate the price. And we could see some regulation come in at a certain point and say, maybe this this futures platform has to actually have the Bitcoin to cover all their positions. They probably won't. But
since when has regulators ever been nice to the Bitcoin guys?
Right, exactly. Well, now that their guys are getting in on it, they'll probably want to protect them a little bit.
That's more. That's a good point. So they maybe what they're going to do is have paper settled futures now for to let everybody get in, right? Depress the price of Bitcoin, and then once all the guys that they want in are in, then they might just do away with those products.
Well, we'll see. I mean, there is a good time to have these paper settled futures. And those are times when you're in a bear market and you want to short Bitcoin and be able to settle out before you open your next position. If you settle out into Bitcoin, you're going to potentially lose another 10, 15, 20% or more by the time you open your next position. And that's not an acceptable situation. So you want to be able to settle out in cash or a stable coin, for instance.
Because they want to dampen their risk of volatility. Nobody wants to be exposed to that on the way down. And on the way up, nobody really wants to be exposed to that either. Except in the long term, if you're like, oh, I'm going to hold Bitcoin for 10 years. I mean, volatility is just a function of illiquidity. So the more liquid the market gets, the less volatile will be.
It's also a unit of measurement as well. Depending, if you're part of a big institution, you can't just decide I'm going to measure all my wealth in Bitcoin. Your accounting department measures everything in U.S. dollars.
Right.
So you can't really settle out into Bitcoin unless you're already set up like that from scratch, essentially. So that's a big issue of it as well.
Yeah, a lot of issues here, but we're going to be covering this a lot more. So if this is interesting stuff, be sure to check us out on Twitter because we have these discussions all day. But let's briefly touch on the news here. There's three really interesting news bits that came out this week. The first one that we mentioned was Microsoft and Engine have partnered to create a blockchain game called Azure Heroes. And, you know, this is the Microsoft's Azure platform, which is what would you compare Azure to?
Azure is just like Amazon Web Services.
Okay,
it's perfect. It's a cloud hosting platform.
And so Engine, E-N-J-I-N, is a blockchain platform. And so we're excited to see what they come out with.
Yeah, so this Azure Heroes game is a way to incentivize participation in the Azure community. And these different badgers are represented in NFT tokens on the Engine blockchain. So you can read all about it at Microsoft's own website, microsoft.com. And then you can search for Azure Heroes. So this is actually legit.
Amazing. And next we have Bitfinex, which is a huge platform, a trading platform. They integrate Lightning Network. And this is really, really important because it enables instant deposits for your Bitcoin and instant withdrawals.
At next to nothing.
Yeah, for virtually free. So this will help grease the wheels, if you will, or, you know, put Drano in the plumbing of cryptocurrency. And we need capital to move very quickly.
Yes.
In order for the markets to be more efficient. And for liquidity to move around. I was listening to a podcast the other day called On the Brink. And On the Brink is an awesome podcast. I highly suggest everybody to check it out. It's with the Castle Island guys, who's a fund in New York. And I think New York. And this guy, Nick Carter, who's definitely one of my role models, and I look up to everything he says. But they were talking about in the early days, you know, or not early days, but in 2017, you know, capital was not able to move fast enough throughout crypto because, you know, not only were the blockchains slow and getting clogged up, you know, withdrawals took so long and, you know, Coinbase would shut down because people couldn't, you know, withdraw to cash because there was banking limits and all sorts of things. There was no plumbing or the plumbing was just always getting clogged. And that just slows down capital flows. And for markets to be efficient and for industries to evolve, you really need to have capital moving extremely quickly so that people can arbitrage and, you know, funds can feel comfortable saying, oh, yeah, this is a investable asset class. And not only is this an investable asset class, but this is one that we could take advantage of because it's similar. It moves at similar speeds to what we're used to. Anyhow, so all this to the point that Bitfinex is cutting edge. And, you know, they also worked with BitRefill very heavily on this integration, which is another company I really like, which allows you to spend your Lightning Network or spend your Bitcoin via Lightning Network and buy all sorts of different stuff. But this will be really good for Bitcoin traders. And I think it's going to bring back a lot of liquidity to Bitfinex. You know, we saw them kind of lose a lot of their market share in the last couple of years because of their, you know, slow processes. And I think they're maybe just a little undermanned. I'm not sure what exactly is going on. But Paolo Arduino, who's the CTO of Bitfinex, is coming on the show. We're doing a recording with him next week. So I'm really excited to talk a lot about this. So stay tuned for that episode. Instant deposits, instant withdrawals, Lightning Network, Bitcoin, taking over the world. Let's freaking rock. And
that's
lastly,
right.
What do we have, Pete?
Speaking of taking over the world, South Korea is passing framework for legalizing cryptocurrencies. They're getting some legal clarifications on how it all works, how it's all going to be regulated, what licenses are needed. And this is working its way through all those different branches of government right now. They say it's going to take about a year before it comes into full effect, but South Korea is really poising itself to be, you know, one of the next world leaders as far as cryptocurrencies and digital assets go.
Amazing. I for sure, Seoul, South Korea is my favorite city in the world that I've ever been to. I got to get back there. Anyhow, guys, this was Weekly Fire, episode something. We're kind of starting to lose track.
I think it's the 18th, episode 18.
Did we miss 17 or is this...
I don't know.
Anyhow,
don't ask me.
Guys, we love you, Crypt Nation. Again, if you haven't checked it out yet, you guys have to go to www.crypto2020summit.com. Sign up. We got a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous list of speakers. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned. And we'll see you next week.